You're listening to Rocky Mountain Review on 90.5 FM at KCSU Fort Collins for Thursday, March 21st. I'm Lee Zimpel, your news director.
And I am Tyler Weatherwax, your assistant news director, and we are the voices behind the Rocky Mountain Review news broadcast that airs every Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
As always, we here at the Rocky Mountain Review strive to give you the most up-to-date, unbiased, and factual news. On today's show, Tyler will tell you what you need to know for the upcoming ASCSU election and more in campus news.
And activists are worried about being silenced as the Fort Collins City Council is considering changes to their public comment section. And this and more with Lee in local news.
Then learn about some ways you could spend the rest of this week out on the town or right here on campus in Life and Events with Tyler.
Later on in the broadcast, find out how doctors transplanted a pig kidney into a living patient for the first time in the U.S. in National with Lee. And with that, we'll get started with campus news. Hello, I'm Tyler Weatherwax, and this is your Colorado State University campus news. Campaigns have begun here at Colorado State University for president and vice president of the Associated Students of Colorado State University, CSU Student Government. Three different candidates are running for president along with their selected vice presidents. Current ASCSU president Nick DeSalvo is running for re-election this year, along with his running mate, current chief of staff Braxton Dietz. Also running this year is current Speaker of the Senate Ava Alaya, and their current running mate is Claudia Paraiso. And the third presidential candidate is Georgia White with Leti Madrigal Tapia. This year, ASCSU officials are hoping to see a higher turnout of student voters, with last year seeing 14% of students voting. Campaigns have already begun on the plaza of CSU, with candidates handing out flyers and speaking to students. Voting starts on April 1st, and KCSU will continue to provide coverage of the ASCSU election. And with that, we'll move on to our next story. First-year students at CSU will now have a new, unique opportunity to travel and study abroad before they officially settle down at CSU for fall classes. CSU's Study Abroad program will launch 7 new locations for first-year students to study at, making the total now 12. The students can travel for 10 to 14 days prior to the start of the fall semester and gain a chance to travel the world and experience the cultures of their selected countries. The goal is to help students feel more confident when they arrive to campus with their fellow first-year Rams. Coverage for these stories come from the Rocky Mountain Collegian. Another fire happened on campus this semester over the spring break. After two fires broke out shortly before spring break inside of the Engineering and Chemistry Research Building, another happened inside of one student dorm hall. Over spring break, inside of Westfall Hall, located on the northwestern side of campus, a fire broke out inside of the building's basement. Westfall's basement houses the laundry room for students to do their laundry. Poudre Fire Authority posted on their Instagram page explaining that the fire was identified as a lint fire in a dryer inside of the room. Residents who were still living in the building over spring break were evacuated but let back inside the building shortly after. That is all for your campus news for today. Come back next week as coverage of elections of ASCSU will continue. Coming up now is Lee with your local news. Find out more about a new composting facility in Fort Collins and more.
In local news, the Fort Collins City Council might change the public comment process after meeting disruptions, and local activists are worried their voices are being silenced. The City Council started drafting these changes after a meeting earlier this month was cut short when protesters shouted for a ceasefire in Gaza. In that same meeting, three protesters also glued their hands to a wall in the chamber. This week on Monday, the council met again, this time to talk about how to limit disruptions like that one. Three ideas were presented. The first one was to limit public comment to an hour at the start of council meetings. There would still be an option to add more time after getting through the agenda if needed. The second idea was to relocate meetings or have online meetings if they think it could be disrupted. And the third idea, which is the most worrying to activists, was to let the council decide before each meeting whether or not to limit public comment to only be related to the topics listed on the agenda. Monday's meeting ended with the council voting to take another look at these ideas later next month, but they scrapped the proposal about limiting comments to stay on topic to their agenda. As the council waits to decide on the other two proposals, ceasefire activists are saying the proposed changes are unfair. Shahab El-Haddad is part of a group working with the city council to pass a ceasefire resolution, and he says the changes go against the foundational right to freedom of speech. Fort Collins Mayor Jenny Arndt says the proposals are not trying to silence anyone, but instead they are to ensure the council can work. And on the other hand, some activists support the council's proposals. Stop Anti-Semitism Colorado released a statement saying the meeting disruptions from earlier this month, was an example of protesters, quote, bullying and doxing council members. Contributions to this story comes from Denver 7 and CBS News. Fort Collins recently gained a new headquarters for food waste disposal, and it's expected to handle over 700 tons of waste every year. The company is called Compost Queen, and they are an example of community composting, where they collect and process local food waste to use for local soil. The company aims to benefit not only local farmers, but also to benefit smaller gardens throughout the community. They offer home curbside pickup of food waste in Fort Collins and Timnath. They also do commercial pickup across Wellington, Windsor, and Loveland. And there's also three residential drop-off sites across northern Colorado, one of them being here in Fort Collins. Compost Queen opened their newest facility on a family farm on North College Avenue. The local farm, called Backgate Farm, actually uses that compost it creates, and Compost Queen has similar partnerships across its other locations. And the company says people who visit their locations can use the compost for their own home gardens, too. The addition of this latest Compost Queen site hopes to use local food waste for good instead of having it take up space in landfills. The National Environmental Education Foundation says that about 30-40% of food goes uneaten in the U.S., and that food waste makes up about a quarter of landfills across the globe. Information for this story comes from KUNC. And lastly, here are a couple quick updates that you should know ahead of this weekend. The suspect in the Fort Collins homicide that police believe could be gang-related was arrested in Pueblo this week. The Pueblo Police Department announced on Tuesday that 31-year-old Adrian Pacheco was arrested after officers chased him for a short time on foot. After his arrest, Fort Collins police were warning Fort Collins police were warning the community about him being armed and dangerous, but now the search for him is over. And after this weekend, you can expect to see some pretty extensive construction on Harmony Road stretching down to Strauss Cabin Road towards I-25. The city will start some concrete repair work this upcoming Monday, so if you drive there, you can expect lane closures for the next 6 weeks. Those were your local news updates. My name is Lee Zimpel. Coming up after the break, Tyler will come back with a rundown of some local and on-campus events you could end your week with. We'll be right back.
Support for KCSU comes from Foco MX, a two-day music festival featuring over 300 local music acts representing a wide range of genres playing in numerous venues in downtown Fort Collins on April 19th and 20th. For information on lineup and wristbands, visit focoma.org/focomx.
Hello, I'm Tyler Weatherwax, and this is your Life and Events section of the Rocky Mountain Review. Playing tonight at the Aggie Theater is A Brothers Foundation, along with Pandas and People. Also joining them on stage will be Hot Day Sugar Mouth. The acts have been categorized as a different kind of folk music altogether, with some describing them as indie folk and even campfire folk. You can hear the bands play at 8 p.m. tonight at the Aggie Theater. Tomorrow night at the Coast will be a benefit concert with Ignite Hope playing. The concert acts as a way to raise awareness and funds to fight human trafficking. Not only will there be live music, but also a silent auction happening alongside it. And if you missed a Brothers Foundation happening tonight, they will also be playing tomorrow for the benefit concert. Other local musicians will perform tomorrow night, and the concert will start at 6 p.m. Sunday at the Colorado State University Center for the Arts will be the guest artist's Fortress Brass Quintet. The group will be playing standards of brass quintet style of music as well as their new works. The group has been on several international tours and is now back to play for an American audience. You can catch the show at 7:30 p.m. Sunday night. And happening right now just outside of the Laurie Student Center is Ram Jam on the West Lawn. 10 tons of snow were put onto the lawn with student skiing and snowboarding competitions. The event will also have music, food, trucks, and more. This year's Ram Jam is the first since 2009, so if you're near the Laurie Student Center, you can go check it out now. That's all for your upcoming events. Next is Lee with your national news coverage. Lee will be going over the first transplant using a pig's kidney for a human, and an update to the high-stakes criminal case involving the Return to Nature Colorado Funeral Home.
Speaking to you, dear listener, my show, The Witching Hour, is up next on KCSU. I've got a wide variety of topics lined up to talk about, including CSU sports and pop culture, so stay tuned.
Welcome back from the break. My name is Lee Zimpel, and here are some of the latest national updates from this week. Surgeons in Boston announced today that the U.S. has had its first pig kidney transplant into a human patient. The patient is a 62-year-old man from Massachusetts, and doctors say he is recovering well and should be on his way home soon. The Massachusetts General Hospital says they genetically modified the pig kidney to be used for a living person, and that in the past, it's only been done before for brain-dead donors. The experimental surgery was done last Saturday, and so far, doctors think it'll end well compared to the other times pig organs were used in transplants. Two men were part of experimental heart transplants from pigs before, but both of them died within months. This newest surgery out of Boston marks the latest attempt in xenotransplantation, which is what it's called when animal cells, tissues, or organs are used to try and treat humans. Doctors are turning to experimenting with pig organs, for example, because getting donors for transplants is often a tough process for many patients. Over 100,000 people in the U.S. are on a waiting list for a transplant, most of them needing kidneys, and thousands die every year before they can get it. Last weekend's patient says he hopes the pig kidney transplant helps not only himself, but also gives hope to the thousands of people who are on that waiting list. The Colorado funeral home owners who are accused of holding nearly 200 decaying bodies were scheduled to enter pleas today, but a Colorado judge allowed it to delay the case until June. John and Carrie Halford are the owners involved in one of the several disturbing criminal cases that have been bringing national attention to gaps in Colorado's funeral industry. This one, coming out of the Return to Nature funeral home near Colorado Springs, is the largest scale example of neglected bodies in the state's funeral home industry. Pushing plea dates back to November means that the trial has been pushed into October, and families impacted by the Hoffers' neglect of their deceased loved ones are frustrated by the delays. Heather DeWolf is a Colorado mom whose 33-year-old son died in 2020. His remains were handled by the Hoffers' funeral home, and even though investigators are still identifying bodies months after the discovery, she says she is sure her son was involved. DeWolf, who has been regularly showing up to court hearings on the case, says, quote, "Every single time this is postponed or this is dragged out, it just reopens that whole wound all over again." As the case continues to move forward at a slow pace, DeWolf and other impacted families are hoping for justice soon. The Hoffers each face about 190 counts of abuse of a corpse, on top of charges of theft, money laundering, and forgery. Democratic senators are trying to address concerns about immigration in a way that preserves civil rights for immigrants. The latest bill Democrats are pushing for comes after the recent killing of a nursing student named Lakin Riley in Georgia, which was done by a Venezuelan man who entered the U.S. illegally. That killing threw immigration into the center of key leading issues voters are concerned about as we head into this year's general election. The bill, which was announced today by six Democrats and allied independents, would focus on local detainment of immigrants linked to violent crime, where they would be held until they can be moved to federal custody to be considered for deportation. This bill shows that Democrats are willing to focus on immigration with a tougher stance, and senators are trying to pitch to voters that they can tighten laws with an approach that still holds Democratic values for immigrant rights. So far, it's not yet clear if the Senate's Democrats will move forward with the bill, but Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut, who is a sponsor of the bill, says if it were to pass, it could fix one of the problems of the U.S.'s immigration system instead of being a tool to demonize immigrants. That'll wrap up national news for now. Information for these updates is based on reporting from the Associated Press. Up next, you'll hear a couple locker room interviews between our sports director, Caleb Allen, and players Isaiah Stevens and Patrick Cartier after the Rams' win against Virginia for the NCAA tournament. That'll be right after the break.
Hey, so I'm having some trouble with my streaming service.
Please select from the following options.
Can I just talk to a person?
Sorry, that is not an option. Please select from the following options.
Seriously?
You called?
No, not you. I'm just sick of robots, and I just want to listen to some music. You know what?
This is DJ Silent G, and you're listening to 90.5 KCSU Fort Collins, operated by actual human beings.
Welcome back to the Rocky Mountain Review. Coming up now is your CSU Sports Updates. KCSU Sports Director Caleb Allen had the chance to interview Isaiah Stevens and Patrick Cartier, two members of the CSU men's basketball team, after their victory yesterday over Virginia as a part of NCAA basketball tournament.
You've been here for 5 years, Zay. You finally get that first tournament win. What does that feel like, your initial moments just after doing?
Man, super excited. Kind of been able to get through all the emotions just because of kind of where the lead was. So I was super happy in the moment. Going to enjoy it for the rest of the night. Obviously, we haven't won a game in quite some time. So this is really big for the program. Man, I think it's just a true testament to the work that we put in, how we respond to every situation. And we're trying to keep this thing going. So,
how long do you get to enjoy it before you have to kind of turn your attention to Texas? You guys got a wild 48 hours leading up to this. What does it look like the next couple hours for you?
Well, in this tournament, you don't get long, so enjoy it on the way to the plane, probably on the plane. And by the time we land in Charlotte, we got to start kind of shifting our focus. Obviously, you got to enjoy these moments. Otherwise, you're not truly present like we want to be. But it's another big-time task in front of us as well.
What do you think of the performances over the last couple of weeks here? You haven't been able to get your stuff going. A lot of focus on you defensively from other teams. teams, but other guys have stepped up. Last week it was Joe and Jalen. This week it's, or tonight it was, you know, Joel Scott and Nick. What is that like watching from that side?
That's Ram basketball. A lot of these teams are really starting to shift a focus and even more of an emphasis than they already do my direction, and that's perfectly fine. I'm still a point guard at the end of the day. I'm still be aggressive. I'm still look for my opportunities, but if we got guys rolling like how they're rolling, what kind of teammate would I be to try to stop that, man? I'm just trying to win the game. So if Joel got it going, Pat, Neek, Jay Lake, it doesn't matter who it is. We're just trying to get the win.
How much does Neek learn from you in terms of assists? He looked really good passing the ball tonight.
Man, he's had that as soon as he came to CSU. I'm sure he had it at CU, but kind of just maximize it here. He's a great decision maker. He has a great IQ and a great feel for the game, and I didn't teach him a whole lot, man. He had that coming in.
So did they kind of feel like going back to the beginning of the season when you guys were rolling 14-1, ranked, Creighton, all that stuff? Did it feel like that?
A little bit, but it's different though. Everyone's win or go home at this point. So the intensity level behind it is different than when you're starting out these seasons. Obviously, teams want to get off on the right foot, but it's some seniors out there who might be playing in their last game, so the intensity behind it is definitely different.
Was that a message to the selection committee? Can you take it as that?
Man, they can take it however they want. We're just glad to be in the tournament. Our team has always had a chip on our shoulder. Maybe it added to it, maybe it didn't, but we're just happy to get the win, man. That's a really high-level program over there, so that's a big-time win for us.
And what does it say about this team that Isaiah Stevens 5 points and they still blow somebody out?
I think it says a whole lot. It can be a different guy every night. We play team basketball over here in Fort Collins. That's how we win games. We out-team people.
I thought you started to ask this, but I mean, just getting the bad taste out of your mouth was 22, obviously. Going against a high major team didn't go the way you wanted, but tonight, obviously, kind of asserting your will and coming out on top, I mean, it just got to feel good.
Yeah. Nah, it feels really good, especially when you got guys stepping up and attacking mismatches the way that we did tonight. I think it's just a true testament to the work that they put in, how connected we stayed through the ups and the downs of a season. And that was a big time win for us. I know I've said that. I'm just excited.
So tonight, kind of 12 points, 2 for 3 from three, kind of back to that. Feels like kind of your signature stat line almost. A little bit of a bumpy patch kind of over the last couple months. How big was tonight and kind of getting some of your confidence back?
It was huge. Obviously, biggest stage we probably played on this year, and it's cool to, you know, showcase that personally. But more importantly, how we're able to showcase our team and our togetherness. And obviously, like, Zay didn't score a lot of points, but the way that other guys were able to step up and how we shared the ball, I thought was really great. So,
what did that game show the selection committee?
I don't know if I want to go there, but I think hopefully Mountain West teams can get it going and can prove that we're one of the top conferences in the NCAA.
So just kind of overall post-dominance, you know, Shaq always kind of calls it like barbecue chicken. Do you or Joel have anything like that, or what were you guys cooking up tonight?
No, I've definitely used that term with Joel, just how strong he is, how he's able to just overpower a lot of his defenders. He was unstoppable tonight, which we'll need going forward for sure.
What did you say about this team's identity? You know, D2, D3, whatever. What did you say about that you can guys come out and do this?
Yeah, no, I think a lot of the guys on our team have a chip on their shoulder, whatever reason that may be. I think, you know, that translates to our passion and edge that we play with on the court that helps us on both ends and with our togetherness too.
You came here a year after, or you transferred in after the tournament appearance last time. You come in, you get a win here on your way out. What does that feel like? And you guys are still playing basketball into March.
Yeah, it feels great. Like you said, hopefully I have time to have some perspective on that later, but we're just kind of focusing on winning one game at a time. And yeah.
How do you think that flight's going to be?
It's a late one, but it'll be, I'm fine with it just because we won. So.
Again, that was Caleb Allen's interview with Isaiah Stevens and Patrick Cartier. The Rams play again here shortly today at 4:50 p.m. Coming up now is Lee with your Fort Collins weather report.
This week was a little bit of a break after last week's big snowstorm. We'll have the week start to wrap up pretty similarly to how it's been looking out there lately, but moving into the weekend, there'll be a gradual change to the return of some colder and wetter conditions. Tonight we'll have a partly cloudy sky and a low of 34. It could get a little breezy tonight with gusts as high as 18 miles an hour. Friday it'll be sunny and it should warm to a high of up to 61 degrees. In the afternoon the wind will be generally calm, but we could get some occasional bouts of a tougher breeze now and then. Friday night it'll cool down to a low of 32 degrees and the sky will be mostly cloudy, but we shouldn't see any rain tomorrow night until we start moving into Saturday. Saturday afternoon we'll have a low chance of rain. It'll be mostly sunny with a high of 65, so we might see some quick sun showers. Wind should be light and varied, but in the afternoon we could see some stronger breezes pick up a bit. Saturday night that small chance for rain will last until about 7 p.m. Then the chance should come back at around 1 in the morning. It'll be mostly cloudy with a low of 37. Sunday, we're more likely to see rain, mostly after 1 p.m. The day will be mostly cloudy, and as the day moves forward, the chance for rain will get higher, up to 70%. It'll be breezy, and we'll see a high of 53 degrees. Sunday night, the rain is most likely before 7 p.m., and then as it cools to a low of 22, that rain is likely to become snow. Peeking into next week, Monday will carry over that chance for snow for most of the day until the evening, and on Tuesday we could see a mix of rain and snow. As always, information for this weekend forecast comes from the National Weather Service. I hope you have a great weekend, and we'll see you Tuesday. And that is all for today. We would like to thank Damian Castile for our amazing theme music. We'd also like to thank the rest of our staff here at KCSU and Rocky Mountain Student Media. We couldn't do this without you.
Finally, we couldn't do this without you, dear listener, so thank you. If you missed any part of today's show, you can find the RMR podcast on kcsufm.com under the news or podcast section. You can also find us on Spotify or anywhere else you listen to your podcasts by searching KCSU News. And with that, we'll see you next time.